Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. It is Wednesday, June 25th. And allow me to set the scene for today's discussion. Since our last episode of Railbird Central, we have learned on, I believe it was Monday, that running back Jonathan Franklin has now cleared waivers. If you're a Packers fan, you probably can't have missed this news that last week they announced that Jonathan Franklin would not be returning to the team, made official, I believe, last Friday when they released him with an injury designation. Hurt his neck late last season, placed on injured reserve, kind of been kept under wraps by the Packers organization and Franklin himself for that matter. Nobody really talked about it all that much. It happened just simply from him being placed on injured reserve, but no one really knew the extent of it. Well, it was a little worse than anybody realized. So anyway, Packers released Franklin, cleared waivers on Monday. Technically, Jonathan Franklin is now a free agent, open to signing with any team in the NFL he chooses, but I don't think, from the sounds of things, he's not pushing to sign anywhere. He understands that he suffered a very serious injury, and he himself is taken to social media saying won't be playing this season. Even if a team wanted to sign him, I don't think its doctors could medically clear him, or at least not right now. So that's where we're at with the Jonathan Franklin situation. In today's calendar, published here at Cheesehead TV, running back Duan Harris and three other teammates are appearing at Green Bay Kids Day today. If you live in Green Bay or are nearby, feel free to go check that out from 11:30 to 12:30 p.m., 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. At Liked Park in Green Bay. A quartet of Green Bay Packers players headlined by Duan Harris, along with, I think, Jared Bush, Lane Taylor, Aaron Adams, all making an appearance at Green Bay's Kid Day, a cool annual event, all sorts of free events all day long for kids in Green Bay, free admission to swimming, bowling, Bay Beach Amusement Park, a Green Bay Bullfrogs baseball game. So go check that out. But kind of setting the scene here, I think transitioning right from Jonathan Franklin clearing waivers to Duan Harris and talking a little bit more about Duan Harris here, I want to discuss the impact of Franklin's release on the rest of the team and what, could happen as a fallout, I guess you could say. Did Jonathan Franklin's release clear the way for another running back on the team? Or perhaps does that allow the Packers to keep a player at another position? And I think Duan Harris is kind of one guy we can discuss here. And by all means, if you want to call into today's show, feel free. You can see the phone numbers published there on our live stream platform. The phone number is area code 347-903-5994. No guest on today's show, so feel free. If you want to talk some Packers football with me, go ahead. Or if you just want to discuss on our live blog, share your thoughts there. That is open to you as well. But my thoughts, I assumed weeks ago that, if and when Jonathan Franklin was healthy by the time training camp rolled around or the regular season, it would have been hard to part ways with him. Here's a guy who the Packers traded up for to grab last NFL draft. and showed some signs, albeit not in extended action, but showed some signs of being an explosive player last season, had the 100-yard game against the Cincinnati Bengals. I thought he would have been a lock for a roster spot had it not been for injury. And of course, what impact had Jonathan Franklin played? How would that have impacted the Packers running backs? Because obviously you've got Eddie Lacy, your reigning NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's a lock for a roster spot, I'd say. Then you've got the backup. The top backup probably goes to James Starks, who the Packers invested a two-year, $3.25 million contract into during the offseason. Yeah, I'd say James Starks is a lock for a roster spot. And then I assumed, Jonathan Franklin would kind of be in the mix there as maybe your number three running back, kind of more of your scat back, quicker type, a guy who might be a little bit more involved in the passing game. Well, that's not happening. Who is your third halfback on the team? And I guess, that now role falls to, at least by default, DeJuan Harris, the veteran running back, albeit a guy with not a ton of experience, but a guy who's been around the organization now for going on his third season, knows the offense better than probably any of the other not yet mentioned running backs on the team. DeJuan Harris himself, coming off an injury last year, had a torn meniscus, or partially torn meniscus, not to mention the cyst that was removed from his lung. There's a lot DeJuan Harris has yet to prove in the NFL, but it is looking like that DeJuan Harris is setting himself up for a little bit easier path to the Packers' regular season 53-man roster. It may have been difficult for him to make the team had Jonathan Franklin been healthy. I'm certainly not ruling anything out. Anything could have happened. But, it would have taken, the Packers, they would have had to think twice to keep four halfbacks on the team, again, assuming Franklin was healthy. That's tough to do in today's day and age in the NFL where, running is becoming secondary to passing to keep four halfbacks. These guys are talented, though, no doubt about it. DeJuan Harris had a shot of making the team, and now he has an even better shot. And I suppose with last week's news that he was returning kickoffs during Packers minicamp, that only increases his chances of being around. He seems to stand an even better chance of making the roster. The more versatile he is, the more roles he can play, the more special teams value he adds to the team. All those things are positives for DeJuan Harris in his bid to make the 2014 edition of the Green Bay Packers. I definitely think there's a spot for him, a player like him, on the team, in that both Eddie Lacy and James Starks, they're your bigger running backs, they're your rumblers, they're your power guys, where the Packers could use a nice different complement. DeJuan Harris, definitely smaller, shiftier, quicker. It's the thunder and the lightning combo. Not that, Eddie Lacy can't provide the occasional bolt of lightning himself, but, DeJuan Harris offers something different. At 5'8", he's harder to find for defenders. He kind of almost hides behind offensive linemen. It's difficult for defenders to even see him as opposed to the much bigger Eddie Lacy. And that's a good thing. I do wonder how much DeJuan Harris can become a factor in the passing game in terms of being a receiver. You know, he really didn't play all that long with the Packers, you know, dating back to the 2012 season. I think he, what, you know, played 7 games for the Packers toward the end of the season. It looked impressive in those 7 games, no doubt about it. But I'm not sure, you know, there's not a big sample size to go upon there in terms of how much he was involved in the passing game. But I'd like to see that become a bigger part of his repertoire, you know, the kind of guy that could be used perhaps on a third down as a receiver out of the backfield. But, I mean, in order to be used on third downs, you got to have other qualities as well in terms of, like, doing things like pass protection. It's going to be tough to dislodge a guy like John Kuhn from that role, who's kind of been the default third down back simply because he can protect Aaron Rodgers, and he at least has reliable hands. John Kuhn struggles to do things once the football's in his hands in terms of making yardage, but he can at least catch the football reliably. So, ostensibly, could DeJuan Harris unseat him? There's definitely more of an opportunity for DeJuan Harris to do something with the ball in his hands than John Kuhn, but isn't quite the blocker, the protector that Kuhn is. Interesting dynamic there. Both players have their own, you know, set of strengths and weaknesses that they have that could be an asset or a detriment to the Packers team. Looking at this in another way, you know, is there possibly, could somebody else unseat DeJuan Harris for a spot on the roster? The Packers have other running backs in camp. Let's see, one of the holdovers from last season, Michael Hill. I wouldn't really even call him a holdover because the Packers signed him as a free agent in the offseason. He was on the Packers roster briefly last season. Played in a couple games as a kick returner for him. I don't think he even saw a snap on offense. But he was a guy the Packers brought in and kind of looked promising as a rookie last year. A guy who's future might be ahead of him, but they eventually I think some players got healthy and they had to cut Michael Hill and tried to put him on the practice squad, but I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers stole him off waivers, and he actually played for the Buccaneers late last season, although he was cut in the offseason. I guess they didn't feel good about his future, although the Packers felt good enough about him to sign him back. So now Michael Hill, you know, back in Packers camp this year. Haven't heard much about him during the offseason, either OTAs or minicamp. But, I mean, you don't hear about a lot of these guys further down the roster. Yeah, I mean, you don't hear about a lot of guys in terms of what they're doing on the field in minicamp, OTAs. A lot of the storylines are about participation, whether they were out there or not. You know, we talk so much during the offseason about Clay Matthews being out, Nick Perry being out, Andrew Corliss being out, Brandon Bostic coming back from injury, Josh Sitton sitting out. It's all about participation or not. Not whether players are doing good or bad, because, I mean, there's no pads out there. Nobody's hitting. It's tough to stand out. So, I mean, I can't, even though, you know, a lot hasn't been said about Michael Hill this offseason program, that doesn't mean necessarily anything good or bad one way or the other. But, you know, if he impresses, he could be in to win a roster spot, and not just him. You know, the Packers signed these two undrafted rookies this year, kind of surprisingly a little bit, I thought at the time, because I didn't know the extent of Jonathan Franklin's injury. But now that you do, it kind of made sense all along. The Packers kind of knew this all along. They knew Jonathan Franklin was injured. So we're going to go sign some of these, you know, pretty good running backs who weren't drafted. Talking about Ladarius Perkins of Mississippi State and Rajon Neal of Tennessee, both products out of the SEC. And Perkins is another one of these guys that's kind of your small, quick scat back. Another guy who's very small in stature. I don't know his height and weight off the top of my head, but I do know he's small on a relative basis. But he's a guy who, you know, has rushed for 1,000 yards in the SEC. He's a guy who also returned kicks for Mississippi State, kind of like DeJuan Harris. If he can be valuable in that type of role, it only makes him more attractive to the Green Bay Packers. And Rajon Neal, while he's a little bit bigger, a little bit more stronger, maybe not as big as Eddie Lacy, the opportunity is open for these guys if they can impress in training camp, if they can impress in preseason action. You know, they could earn a roster berth on this Packers team. So, I wouldn't say by any means DeJuan Harris, now that Jonathan Franklin has been released, is a lock for a roster spot. I wouldn't say that. You know, I'm not making any judgments already here in the month of June. I'm waiting for all of these guys to put on the pads in training camp in the preseason to make more of a official prediction. I mean, that's how you got to do it. I mean, I can sit here and make a prediction now, but, you know, it's definitely the information is not in yet. I got to see how these guys look in an NFL environment when they're hitting and being hit. Seeing how, you know, especially for these young guys, how they translate from college to the pros. Sometimes just because you're a stud in college doesn't always mean you're going to be good in the NFL. So I got to see him. We got to see him first. So we're waiting to see. To take this discussion in another direction here, what if the Packers, you know, I thought once again, before I knew the extent of Jonathan Franklin's injury, that the Packers may keep 4 halfbacks this year. But now, maybe it is only looking like they'll keep 3 halfbacks on the team. Does that open up a roster spot somewhere else? And of course, I think when you're talking about the Packers keeping extra players at a position, the one position you kind of immediately think of this year is at wide receiver, where the Packers, you know, addressed the position by drafting 3 wideouts in the NFL draft. Kind of a heavy number for the Green Bay Packers, for any team for that matter. They had some losses in the offseason. James Jones departed in free agency. JerMichael Finley, even though he's technically a tight end, still a receiving target, not back with the team. So the Packers, you know, draft Davante Adams in the 2nd round, Jared Aberderis in the 5th round, Jeff Janis in the 7th round. Can all these guys make the team? It's going to be tough, but, and Aaron Rodgers has said this, has alluded to this himself in interviews with the media, this could be a year the Packers easily keep 6 wide receivers on the roster. Kind of, for most teams in the NFL, the status quo is to keep 5 wide receivers around. And again, not to say that's you know, a hard and fast rule. It differs from team to team and year to year. But, I mean, most years the Packers keep 5 wide receivers on their roster. Seemingly, this could be a year where they'll be tempted to keep 6, just because, you know, for one thing, the talent warrants it. There's young guys who may not be ready yet, but will be ready to contribute down the road that you don't necessarily want to lose. We've kind of discussed this topic before on the show, definitely. But I think it, you know, given Franklin's release, it kind of, you know, it's worth revisiting. You know, who are the Packers going to keep at wide receiver? Well, Jordy Nelson is a lock. Randall Cobb is a lock. Davante Adams, the second round draft choice, is a lock. Jarrett Boykin, I think, is next to a lock. I would be very, very hard pressed to see the Packers parting ways with Jarrett Boykin. You know, maybe not as much of a lock as Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb, but still, you know, he's a guy who had 40 some catches for 600 some yards last year. I mean, he's now a veteran and knows what he's doing, and has achieved well with a backup quarterback last year. Can you imagine how well Jarrett Boykin would have done had Aaron Rodgers not been injured? He would have done even better. So, Jarrett Boykin, you know, there's four guys right there who are absolute locks. Now, who do you get to take the fifth and sixth spots on the roster? Well, the Packers invested a fifth-round draft choice into Jared Aberderis. It's, you know, fifth-round draft choices are not necessarily locks, but you don't see many getting cut in the NFL. For the most part, they stick around, even if they're not ready to contribute right away, and that could certainly be the case with Jared Aberderis. Don't really know what he's got in him yet. In fact, wrote a feature on him published here Sunday at Cheesehead TV. You could go through our archives and check that out. It's going to be a whole new ball game, I write, when the pads come on at training camp, and we'll see what Jared Aberderis has got in him. Certainly a productive player in college, but a guy who has lots and lots to prove at the NFL. So it'll definitely, that'll be exciting to watch in training camp to see how ready Jared Aberderis is to play for the Green Bay Packers. But I mean, you are talking about fifth wide receiver at best, even if he, you know, does make the roster, probably not going to play a huge role, especially in the beginning of the year. Could definitely grow as time goes on. Would help if Jared Aberderis can help out on special teams in the return game. He's been both a punt returner and a kick returner in college. Have to worry a little bit about his history of concussions. That has kind of been kept a little bit quiet as well. I know in interviews with the media, people have reported that he's had multiple concussions, and Aberderis is, I think, said he's only technically had one, or that the, you know, it's people not really being forthcoming about this injury issue here. Or, you know, if Aberderis is only suffered one concussion, where are these reports coming that he's, you know, had more? I don't know what to say about that, because I don't know the truth. I wish I could find out the truth, and maybe we just have to take Jared Aberderis at his word until we know otherwise. But anyway, you know, he's kind of fighting for the fifth spot on the roster, and you know, could this be the year they keep six? Well, who's the sixth guy? And again, Packers hesitant usually to part with rookies. You might think Jeff Janis could be, has the upper leg on a sixth spot. Of course, no guarantees there. It certainly wouldn't be unheard of for teams to part ways with a, you know, seventh round draft choice, sixth wide receiver spot. So Janis, he would have to prove a lot in order to get that roster spot. I mean, because, you know, you would think the Packers could, if they had to, stash him on the practice squad. You know, that would be a good place for him if he's not yet ready for prime time but shows promise. You know, that would be a place to keep him on the team and then maybe contribute down the road. And maybe that's the best thing for him is, you know, while he has definitely raw talent, he tested out very well in many of the measured drills at the NFL Combine, in terms of having flat out speed, 40-yard dash, to doing, you know, other things like the three cone drills and the jumps and all that. He's tested out among the best wide receivers of anyone, you know, stacking right up with first round draft choices in terms of, you know, measurements. But measurements don't mean anything. Here's a guy who's coming from Division II Saginaw Valley State. It's going to be a whole huge jump up in competition for him as he learns his way around the NFL, you know, dealing with NFL defense backs and learning NFL offenses. There's going to be a learning curve there taking place for Jeff Janis. You know, guys who might stick around were guys who stuck around last year. Chris Harper, you know, the guy the Packers claimed on waivers last year. Kind of been a little bit written about him this offseason because Mike McCarthy, I know, during a press conference, praised the job that Chris Harper has done, saying he's made strides since last year. If you remember when, you know, he got picked up by the Packers, he really didn't play all that much. Got a cup of tea here and there, playing, you know, primarily on special teams, but really didn't contribute much to last year's 2013 version of the Green Bay Packers. Another guy who was around last year, Miles White, got a little bit more playing time, mainly because he had been with the Packers since, you know, the entire offseason, was signed as an undrafted free agent, beat the odds and made the team, partially because he was healthy as well. But, you know, he ends up, you know, catching, what, a dozen passes last year or so? Maybe not even that many. You know, was simply impressive the way he made the team in terms of, you know, coming the undrafted route. Those guys don't frequently make your roster, or at least a high percentage of them don't make your roster. So Miles White's in the mix. Kevin Dorsey, last year's seventh round draft choice, spent the entire year on injured reserve last year. Definitely, it's been a positive for him that he stayed healthy this entire offseason. He couldn't even get on the field last year because he wasn't healthy at all. Even during the offseason OTA's minicamp last year, he barely took part. Training camp, he barely took part. Always injured. And so far, so good in terms of health. Kevin Dorsey has stayed healthy. He's took part in the entire offseason program, which is great. Hopefully he's put his injury woes behind him. And he starts to show why the Packers invested a draft choice into him last year. You know, there had to be something there that the Packers really liked and thought that he could provide. And, you know, we're not really going to find that out again until training camp, till the pads come on, till the preseason and he actually plays. Maybe we'll be in for a pleasant surprise. But we're not going to know if we are or not for another month plus yet. But I'm looking forward to that. No doubt about it. That's the fun part of training camp that's coming up. I mean, all these guys I just kind of went through here a little bit. Don't know what you're going to get from any of them, whether it's Kevin Dorsey, Miles White, Chris Harper, Jeff Janis, Jared Aberderis. There's five guys right there, all competing for one or two spots on the Green Bay Packers roster. You know, five guys fighting for maybe two roster spots. It's going to be exciting to see how it all plays out, you know, how the battle in training camp takes shape. You know, who does Aaron Rodgers show the most trust in? Things like that can go a long way for a player, a long shot player, for making the roster. So, you know, all these things kind of had a ripple effect on Jonathan Franklin's release and how he impacts the rest of the team and what the roster will look like. Definitely, I thought, kind of interesting and definitely a good topic today to dive into, kind of discuss here a little bit as I ramble on in my mind and share the thoughts that came to my mind when Jonathan Franklin was released. So we'll see, again, as I always say, how it all plays out. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining me on the show today, for tuning in, for listening in. Those of you who've downloading the podcast, thank you very much as well. We'll be back again on Friday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So talk to you in 2 days' time. Until then, we'll see you later. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirivu. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long. I leave you today with a song called Bali Munster by the String Cheese Incident on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.